Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
It is emerging tonight from exclusive documents secured by Joy News that government has been struggling for some time now to buy enough fuel to keep the lights on. The primary reason, you may be sleeping in darkness again tonight. An assessment done by the National Electricity Transmission Body, GRIDCO, revealed a significant shortfall in generation, mainly due to insufficient supply of gas. Tonight, the chairman of the Energy Committee in Parliament, Samuel Atachia, says there are urgent efforts currently underway to find money to increase the purchase of gas to keep the lights on. More from him shortly, but first, head of the Energy Desk, Kojo Brace, joins me with details of the GRIDCO briefing document that we have secured. And Kojo, let's start with its own introduction, because that sums up the problem.
So this is a report on the Ghana power system supply situation and outlook for March 27 to April 2024. Now, it says that the Ghana power system experienced challenges of inadequate generation, resulting in load curtailment to the export market, including internal customers, over the past week.
Okay,
so that's how it starts.
That's a nice summary there. Mm-hmm. Inadequate generation. So exactly. From the start, it points to a generation problem.
Exactly, that's it.
So let's talk about generation. Mm-hmm. What is it? What is the shortfall? What is the deficit?
Okay, so now our total installed generating capacity in this country, Ghana, is 5,626 megawatts. But the total available capacity, as we speak, as of March 27, 2024, was 3,251. So check the deficit there, over 2,000.
2,375, to be very precise.
Yes, for people to follow us, it says the generating capacity in Ghana is 5,626 megawatts. The total available capacity as of March 27, 2024, was 3,251. So the deficit is over 2,000.
And let's put this in context. This is a briefing document that the GRIDCO put together, covering the period 27th March to 2nd April.
To 2nd April.
We're just talking about yesterday.
Exactly.
I mean, ended yesterday. Mm-hmm. And you notice that this is the Easter period.
Mm-hmm.
This is the Easter period. And my sources tell me at GRIDCO that this was important. The GRIDCO was asked to do this by the authorities because they wanted to understand what the situation was going to be over the Easter period. Mm-hmm. And so whatever we are telling you from this document, it is what GRIDCO knew was going to happen and anticipated over the Easter period.
And indeed, we saw some glimpses of power outage. And it's not
over the period, yes.
I mean, we saw a lot of it happening throughout the country. So
now, let's tell you why you saw that challenge over the period ending yesterday.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Let's go into that, Kojo, because let's isolate, for example, the power generating plants that are currently unavailable due to fuel shortage.
Okay, so if we're talking about fuel shortage, then of course we're looking at Senet, which it would have given you, because that's for fuel.
It's unavailable.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. No, I mean, when we're looking at the fuel bed first.
Yeah.
So for fuel, Senet, which would have given you 110
megawatts.
Exactly.
So that is unavailable because of
inadequate of gas. Mm. Now, if you look at Asogli Phase 1, it would have given you 180 megawatts. It's also unavailable because of inadequate gas.
Mm-hmm.
You look at KTPP units, it should be giving us 105, but it also has inadequate DFO stock. AXA unit, 200 megawatts, is also unavailable because of inadequate HFO stock. So that in total, all of this should have given us 595 megawatts. That's a lot.
That's a lot. Mm. So that gives you an instant picture of this gas supply challenge that some of the experts have been pointing to. Mm. But this is a very accurate picture painted by GRIDCO to the authorities when they were asked to put this together for the period March 27 to April 2nd.
Mm.
And so they just went through the units are currently unavailable because of the gas fuel shortage challenges. Fuel. What about the plants that are down right now due to maintenance and retrofitting?
Okay, so we have about five of them.
Mm-hmm.
You have a Mary unit, which should give you 250 megawatts. It's also down for maintenance because it's been relocated to Awumasu. So pre-commissioning has begun at the plant.
But I'm interested in that because if you look at the date this happened, this is 31st January 2001.
Exactly.
That's a long time ago.
Yes. So,
and it's still off the grid. 250 megawatts.
You don't have it. I mean, so the ministry should be answering questions why this is the case. We have the Siemens unit number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8. Together, they give you 80 megawatt. That's also down because of defective generator parts. So some parts that needs to be replaced there. You have TECO unit number 1. It should be giving you 110 megawatt. Major inspection is what they attribute to that. So, I mean, there are some challenges. Authorities need to go and check on what actually is happening. You have Twin City plant, which should give you 200 megawatt. It's also generator inspection. So also maintenance there. And then Bui unit number three, should be giving you 100 megawatt, but it's also down due to annual maintenance. Together, all of these five plant should be giving us 740 megawatts.
And let's throw in there units that are currently unavailable because of fault. There's one of them that is unavailable because of fault. And that we are talking about the TECO unit three that is down. Mm-hmm. And if you put all together, we are talking about 1,455 megawatts that is unavailable. But you see, GRIDCO narrows down to the gas challenge.
Exactly.
What did they say?
Well, GRIDCO says gas supply from domestic sources, that's ENI and TALO, have been relatively stable over the past week. But they're saying that the total gas supply continues to be inadequate to run thermal plants to meet electricity demand. VRA has, however, increased their gas nomination from Nigeria to the firm, to the firm capacity of 80,000 MBBU. Load reductions of export to Burkina, Cote d'Ivoire and Togo together with some internal load curtailment are carried out to balance demand with available generation. So what they want to communicate here is that there is a challenge with us getting fuel, getting gas.
To power the plants. We're talking about gas here, but then they isolate the liquid fuel stocks that some of the plants also require to run, right? What's the situation there too? That paints a pretty much dire picture as well.
Yeah, so they say that the LCO stock available, and this is quite you know, something that when you hear, you begin to become afraid of what is to come if things don't change. Because GRIDCO says LSO stock available at Takoradi Thermal is expected to last for just 13 days.
13 days?
13.
What about the one at Tema?
Yeah, they say that is expected to last for 2.6 days. So that's less than 3 days.
I see.
You know, it tells you where we are. Now,
what about Asogli?
For Asogli, they say that
there's no LCO at
LCO stock. There's nothing at all. And again, there's no LCO stock available at the Sen Power plant. Nothing at all. They go on to say that LCO stock at Twin City plant is expected to last for just 2 days. Again, there is no DFO stock available at Pung Thermal Power Station. And there is no HFO stock available at AXA. So this really paints the picture of where the situation is coming from.
And I noticed that we're talking about thermal plants. If you go to the hydro plants too, Akosomo is fine. But they also raise red flags about Bui when it comes to what the minimum level is and the projection as to when they may get there.
So they say that the actual water levels in Bui against the actual 2023. Now, if you look at it, the current level is 0.18 meter above the minimum level of 168. Check the difference. 0.18 meters above the minimum level of 168 meters. The dispatch at Bui has been reduced to 2 units for peaking only. Maximum of 10 hours run. With a current drop, the water level is expected to reach the minimum by April 1, which was Monday. So by now, possibly. And you know, when it gets to the minimum, it means that you need to be shutting down the plant.
And that's the place you want to be.
No.
The conclusion is instructive because they have a recommendation to the government.
Now, they conclude by saying that generation will be inadequate to meet peak demand for the coming week, with up to 510 megawatt load relief required to keep the system stable.
So when it's a load relief, that's what you need to shed. That's a load that we don't have, but there's demand for that. So we need to shed that to keep the system stable.
Yeah.
And again, remember, that is a period 27th March to 2nd April. And so during that period, if you experience any outages,
this is it.
Possibly this, because it's 510 shortfall that we have to find a way to manage that.
That is why, if you remember, ECG was putting out statement that today, GRIDCO says GRIDCO has reduced power to box supply point, and so communities will be affected. It's because of this.
What's the advice to government?
Okay, so it says there's need to source for more gas from Nigeria above the VRFM contract to run an idle thermal plant to meet the increasing electricity demand. In addition, alternate fuel must always be made available for AXA and KTPP to serve a strategic stock in the absence of gas to ensure reliable electricity supply.
In English, just get more gas.
Exactly.
Just get
Look
more
for
gas.
More money.
Look get for more money, gas. Get more gas, because we have idle plants that if you have the gas, you should be powering right now to ensure that you don't sleep in darkness tonight. And that's a very important point.
So
now,
this solves the question that government is, what is it that everybody has been asking?
What is the problem?
What's the problem? It's fuel.
Well, that's a Greek Hook's statement that we've exclusively secured. But there's another statement, another document we've exclusively secured. That tells you the picture when it comes to the load management regime. GRIDCO is concerned that ECG is not listening to instruction in terms of implementing the load management instructions and is threatening the system.
So that's where I want us to start from. They say that we note with grave concern the repeated instances where ECG operations personnel fail to follow load management instructions issued by the SEC. This non-compliance poses a significant threat to the stability of the power grid, potentially leading to 1, avoidable power outages for customers, 2, system collapse. That's where you don't want to get to. So they are warning that if that is not followed, this is what will happen. Now, it says the SEC routinely communicate load management directives to ECG operations. However, these instructions are often either not affected or inadequately implemented. There results in a decline in system frequency, triggering 1, the operation of the automatic frequency load shedding relays, and 2, SEC having to disconnect feeders, 7 bulk customers to correct the decaying frequency. So if you wouldn't do it, we'll do it ourselves.
In other words, we simply say we don't have enough to give ECG. So manage the load. Manage. Instead of ECG managing the load and putting your lights off, sometimes you're not doing so. And GRIDCO is saying that is putting strain on the entire system.
Exactly.
And the risk is that the entire system may collapse.
And if it does, I mean, we should all estimate how things will be.
And you know what, on PM Express yesterday, the chairman of the Energy Committee was on PM Express, and he was very, very clear when I spoke to him that as we speak currently, he's aware
some of the problems we are facing. But if we don't, then we are in crisis. And as we are rightly saying, my little challenge and concern is that this should be something that we should have anticipated, you know, because it's an essential raw material for energy generation. So if we want to really do it and ensure that we have constant flow of power, then we should have buffers, because we cannot afford to mess up the economy in terms of energy supply.
So that there is the chairman of the Energy Committee in Parliament talking about what he's expecting will happen now to deal with this gas supply challenge. And we referenced that document in which the GRIDCO is complaining. He's complaining in a formal letter that they wrote. They wrote to the Energy Ministry.
Exactly. So it's addressed to the Honourable Minister, Minister of Energy in Accra. And that's Dr. Matthew Opoku-Prempeh. Now, we're talking about when the SEC says they gave instruction to ECG and they didn't do it. They had to go and do it by themselves. Now, they stayed here. Now, March 21, 2024, at 7:59, now the SEC had to take off TAFO feeders out of service due to ECG's failure to properly implement. So it means that if you're in TAFO and your power went out, it could be that the SEC thought that the system was in danger. They took it out. They say that by March 20th, 2024, similar non-compliance by ECG operations during peak hours forced the SEC to disconnect feeders in Tema, Winneba, Kasua, and Kumasi.
So because ECG was supposed to do it,
but
and they
failed
were not
to
doing
do it. So let's state again that this letter was written to the Energy Minister, Dr. Matthew Opoku-Prempeh.
And it was written on the 28th, dated 28th March, 2024. The earlier document that we were citing is a document that I know my sources tell me they had prepared because the ministry had requested for it, the authorities had requested, the president himself was briefed, because they wanted to understand what was going to happen over the Easter period. People were home, and the system wanted to be sure that you get light to enjoy your Easter period, and that's why this was put together. I want to bring in the ranking member on the Energy Committee. He's going to be one of the people grilling the minister when he appears before them on Saturday. Also joining me is Anamwesi, who is Executive Director of the Institute for Energy Security. John Junapo, this is a document that I believe you've seen already. Fascinating details in there, but I safe to say none of that surprises you?
Not at all. I mean, what beats my imagination is how government admits communicators could think that they can take all of us on that ride. I mean, it really, really beats my imagination. Like 30 million Ghanaians, you think that you can just take us on this ride with this flimsy excuse of so-called transformer overloads. When transformers are overloaded, it means that there isn't enough supply. There's too much supply of power. So why are we not curtailing supply of power to our neighboring countries? More importantly, now the official document from GRIDCO on their letterhead, authenticated document, establishes that we've been shedding load because of fuel challenges. All this while, when we said there's fuel problem, a lot of people said we didn't know what we're talking about. We're naysayers. Why do we wish bad for this country? Why are we calling for a load shedding table? They knew. Because there's a weekly report from GRIDCO to the minister. And all the weekly reports I see confirms that there's a deficit in generation, primarily because of fuel challenges. What we need is to find a way as a country, collectively, to procure adequate fuel for the plant. We don't have distillate fuel. We don't have HFO. Gas supply is erratic. Nigeria is unreliable. So what we have to do is to deal with the fuel issue. If we solve the fuel challenge, we won't have load shedding. That's the bottom line. Once we solve the fuel issue, we are done. And I think that all of us collectively, irrespective of our political persuasion, we should help to find solutions towards getting fuel. But when the man in the seat continuously denies that the system is stable, and yet the body, which is GRIDCO, mandated to manage the National Interconnectivity Transmission System, says that it is not stable, and even goes on to caution that the whole system can collapse. Look, Evans, it's a serious matter. This is a very, very serious matter. And we kept telling Ghanaians that, look, if we don't do anything, the system will collapse. Now, GRIDCO is confirming that. I hope and I pray that we all put the politics aside and do the needful. We know that we don't have fuel. We know today there will be load shedding. Let's inform the people that, look, we have this challenge. This is the timetable. We are taking pragmatic steps to procure fuel. The risk is that when we curtail supply to Burkina, Cote d'Ivoire, and the rest, first of all, there will still be a deficit. But more importantly, we're breaching our contractual obligations with them. And eventually, we will lose that market. And that market is a very crucial market in terms of foreign exchange for this country. So the bottom line is that let's find solution to procure some fuel and supply power to the people of Ghana for domestic and commercial use.
And talking about that, the GRIDCO document we're referring to had a specific advice. And that advice was there's a need to source for more gas from Nigeria above the current VRA firm contract, the contractual arrangement that we have, get more gas. Increase that. Nanamwesi with executive with the Institute for Energy Security. Yeah, that may be the advice, but we need to first have the money. Isn't that where the challenge is? Isn't it really what is at the heart of this? That we know we need to get more gas, but we simply don't have the money. Hello, Nana.
Hello, Ivan. Yes. Sorry, I lost you there.
No, I mean, I'm just asking the question. If you look at the recommendation by the GRIDCO to the government, it says simply we should source more gas from Nigeria. But it's a money problem, is it not?
That is the case, Evans. And I'm sure Nigeria will be able to support us if we put money forward. Already we all end gas. That is why you see, interruption in the supply of gas from Nigeria. And so if you are going to expect more gas from Nigeria, then we must be ready to pay for same. If it's not the case, then I'm afraid Nigeria will not save us this time.
One of the solutions, and we heard that from the chairman of the Energy Committee who was with me yesterday on PM Express, and he made this announcement.
I've even been educated that there is a command that our export of electricity to other countries should be curtailed.
Okay.
Because the president has an acute sense of the national need that making profit abroad.
Nanamwesi, will this solve the problem at all? Curtailing supply to neighboring countries?
Absolutely not, Ivan. Cutting supply of power to Benin, to Togo, to La Côte d'Ivoire, and Burkina Faso. We're talking about 250 megawatts here. Meanwhile, the deficit we have in the system is 600 megawatts. And so if you choose not to even serve them with power, we'll still have a shortfall of something close to 400 megawatts. So it won't solve the problem. We must look beyond that solution or that proposed solution. It will save us. We'll still be seeing themselves.
So what's the solution? We know we need to get more gas. I think that is very clear. But government somehow is failing to get the gas. So where do we go from here?
I'm sure government will be praying this time around to have excess power. We've been crying, woof, woof, woof. The day the woof arrived, no one showed up. We didn't have anything like excess capacity, Evans. It was a reserve margin for us. Today, we've sat down, we've watched almost all that margin of power, 2,000 megawatts, is down, not just for reason of gas shortage, but then power plants are down because they have collapsed. They were not able to do their plant maintenance because cash flow was a constraint for them. And so we must go look for money, give them money to solve the plants and bring the plants back. That is our surest way. But for fuel supply, I'm sure government will have to bend extra money to get us that liquid fuel. And I'm scandalized that the whole power sector, we are so much dependent on the natural gas. Meanwhile, we must have a buffer, of which is the liquid type of fuel, the HFO, the diesel, the light crude oil. We chose not to keep stock. From the beginning of the year, we've been seeing power that's produced on daily basis being around 3,200 megawatts. Up to today, 3 months later, we are now discussing bringing in liquid fuel. I'm thinking that we are not serious as Ghanaians, Evans.
I mean, Mr. Junapo, this Saturday, I understand from what the chairman of the committee tells me that you're going to have an opportunity to speak to the minister and all the other agencies in that power value chain. But he says something very instructive, that you guys have taken the decision to do exactly this.
What is very, very important is that we want to interrogate this matter critically.
Mm.
And it is the members of the committee who are actually running after the minister that we need all the individuals in the value chain to converge. Because he had an international assignment, and because of that, he couldn't make himself available. He's in the realm now, and it's covenanted that we are going to meet this Saturday, all of us. And then we look at it critically. We're looking at data. So that which is apolitical. So you cannot come and do propaganda with facts. Mm. It won't work. If we don't have the power, you can't, excuse me, to conjure some propaganda and noise to bring the power. So you need to own up as to why we are having this challenge. Then those who are the experts will look at it and say, look, these are the obvious challenges.
So that is the approach, he says, he and yourselves will be taking on Saturday. Is that an approach? Is that an approach that you agree with?
Certainly, certainly. And would be very, very transparent. But let me just advise all those agencies will be appearing before us, that we have the powers of a high court, and if you come peddling falsehood, deliberate falsehood, that is perjury. Secondly, I'm very worried for the Bui power plant. I've looked at the trajectory in terms of the programmed flow and the actual. You are drafting the water like no one else's business. And within this short period, because the Bui plant is a peaking plant, if you run it as if it's a base load plant, you would finish the water in no time. And now we are hitting bottom in terms of the elevation of the water, which means that they may have to shut down. So I'm very worried for the Bui plant. The way they are running it, it will create a big problem if nothing is done. But you see, it's not easy to just go to Nigeria and ask for gas. You must show that you are ready to pay for that gas. And we knew, that is my issue. It's not as if it's an emergency. We knew since January that we're heading into this crisis. Yesterday, my report is that it went to 700 megawatts, the deficit. That's why they've decided that we won't export power again. Why don't you export that power? Ring fence that forex and use that to buy fuel. I mean, does that not make sense? Well, your problem is fuel. You have power to export. There's regular dependable payment from all these neighbors. It's hard currency. Why don't you do a back-to-back arrangement with the fuel supplier, ring fence the money, and then use that to buy the fuel? But you are losing that market. You are losing them. If they realize that you are not reliable, they will look elsewhere. Well, it's not easy. I just get very, very sad when I see some of these things. Can you imagine if the Akosombo Dam had gone down like 2015 and we lost about 600 megawatts? That means we could shed between 1,200 to 1,300 megawatts. That is serious. But all these are lessons. My worry, finally, Evans, is that if this thing continues by the end of the year, where will the power sector be?
And while you asked that question, though, on Saturday, will this be televised? I asked that question for chairman. He says a decision has not been taken yet. He's going to look into it. Where do you stand on that question?
I'm for it. I'm for, because it's a matter of national interest. And I would make a proposal to chairman that the media should be invited. I'll make a proposal to chairman that the media should be invited. This is a serious matter. This is the burning issue now. Industry complaining, households are complaining, commercial entities are complaining. There's a clear uncertainty. Nobody wants to speak to the issue. The president is quiet. The vice president, who chairs the cash waterfall mechanism and head of economic management team, is quiet. The minister is being dismissive. And I mean, you just don't see leadership. And so MPs, we are struggling and doing everything we can to bring these agencies. And we don't have that much sway on them as compared to the executive. But the president can fire these heads of these agencies within a twinkle of an eye. MPs is going to take a daunting task. And even when you want to censure ministers, we saw what happened on the floor. But we'll do our best. They will, first of all, even honor the invitation and hope that they'll be honest.
Well, the chairman
and
is
speak to the document.
The chairman is confident that the minister will come. He's received assurances. Thank you very much. That's the ranking on the Energy Committee in Parliament, John Jinapo. Earlier, I heard Nana Moisi, who is Executive Director of the Institute for Energy Security. What's the electricity situation where you are right now? 0551111997. News Night in a minute.
Ladies and gentlemen, Telecel is here!
Telecel, connecting energies.
Great news is here. BetMat is here again. XXL clearance sale. Guaranteed savings. From now till the end of April, the big sale continues. Get discounts of up to 70% off sanitary wares, light tiles, waterproofing, and all other product families. It's the year to get things done. Visit our showroom at the North Industrial Area next to the Winners Chapel, Ghana. Don't miss out. BetMat, welcome home.
On Newsnight tonight, Chairman of Foreign Affairs Committee in Parliament tears into his ranking member, accusing him of throwing tantrums over a hike in passport application fees, despite what he describes as justifiable reasons given for the increase.
to step out to say that they vehemently oppose the review of the fee as neither here nor there. The person who is throwing those tantrums is not a member of that committee.
But with the NDC minority complaining about the cost, is the Foreign Affairs Ministry willing to review the fees?
This little threat, whatever, it is not going to happen. Take it from me.
You are not going to review it.
It will not happen. Mm. These figures, with the support of majority of Ghanaians, it has come to stay.
Also tonight, Scholarship Secretariat fights back against claims it awarded scholarships to politically connected and affluent members of the Ghanaian society, as it argues applications are not assessed based on political cards or potential beneficiaries.
You can only throw out political mischief because we don't ask for your party card in our assessment of a scholarship.
Plus, Commission on Human Rights and Administrative Justice describes as criminal the underage girl betrothing to the Gbagbo deity in Nungwa.
Betrothal is any kind of form. We are not looking at whether to the human being or to the deity. The law says betrothal in any kind of form. Mm.
And some oil marketing companies increase prices at pump despite the suspension of the stabilization levy at the pumps.
And in sports, former football icon Osama Jan has backed his former teammate John Pintle to succeed in his role as assistant coach of the Black Stars, insisting he's well prepared for the job.
You want to stay with us for that and more all here on Newsnight Plus?
We are proposing that the PNDC law